I really enjoy hearing them sing. Thank you, Paquette family. Amen. Brother Clark just takes his choir with him. And he's got music all the time, so you don't have to worry about that. All right. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of James, chapter 5. James, chapter 5. We're not going into Daniel tonight. Was in Daniel 9 last week, and we talked about that 70th week, seven-year period, tribulation yet to come to Israel. Chapters 10, 11, and 12 all tie together. Sometime you need to sit down and just read those three chapters because it'll sum up the end time for the and dealing with the Jewish folk. And so it'd be good to do that. But I'm thinking about revival and thinking about the and probably on Wednesday nights for a few Wednesday nights, unless God changes something, we'll deal with this subject of hindrances to prayer. And I pray God to help us as we look at the Word of God and try to share a word or two with you concerning prayer. Prayer is a necessary thing if we ever have revival, ever have a good service, ever sing, ever preach, ever do anything. It certainly needs to be a season with prayer ahead of time. And so we're looking forward to revival. I was listening today to the WTBI about Walk Down Memory Lane. The first song they played, I was in the car, and they were playing a song by our choir that was sung during a jubilee. And I thought, praise God, that's good. Amen. I know that church. And the people, I could tell by what was going on that it's jubilee singing, jubilee response. And that was good. And I thought, we're having revival, and I pray God will just move in that revival such that it'll be like Jubilee and that we will have real revival ourselves. And so I'm praying that God will do that and give us a real revival. And I'm sure you are. There's some folk I want to see get saved. There's some people I want to see get right with God. There's some I like to see get back in church. There's some that have just strayed away. And so God knows about all that, and he's able to take care of all that. But James chapter 5, if you'll stand, please, we'll start reading at verse number 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I don't say much about that. Just previous to that, talking about for those that are sick, call for the elders. Nowhere in the Bible do you teach that the preachers ever call for the sick to come. The sick call for the elders to come. I just thought I'd plug that in right there. Amen. I certainly believe in praying. I certainly believe in praying for the sick. But here we're taking this beyond praying for the sick. And it seems like in verse 15, he's talking about prayer of faith, saving the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up if he have committed sin. Seemed like he's dealing with somebody maybe been under chastening hand of God. And something was happening, and God was chastening them. Call for the elders. They confessed. He said, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, or that's Elijah, was a man of subject unto like passions as we are. And I like that phrase right there. The one that we read about in the Old Testament that was such a mighty warrior for God said, subject to like passions as we are. God was making it plain to us that he was no different from what we are. He man just like we are men and had like passions as we have. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Here he's telling us about Elijah that prayed, and God shut heaven up for 3.5 years. And then he prayed, and God opened heaven up. And what he's saying is, I want to give you an illustration of somebody that really prayed. And if heaven can be shut up and heaven open, then I believe that God can be moved to action in other areas. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, Thank you for the Lord Jesus. And as we talk about prayer tonight, I pray you'd help us. And Lord, help us to realize the hindrances to prayer, and that we may ourselves look at ourselves, see ourselves, and respond as we should and as we ought to do so. Our Father, as Elijah prayed and heaven was closed and opened, I ask God that we may see heaven opened in spiritual blessings and the power of God to come and conviction and working in hearts and lives and reaching out in a community and area. Just as sure as rain fell, you're able, God, to do that. And so I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit of God would direct us tonight. Give us words to speak. Help us to think right. I plead the blood of Jesus, and I pray you'd have your way. Speak to every heart of every individual in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, looking at this tonight, and we're thinking about this prayer, and verse 16 again, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I looked at that word, availeth much. Two words, availeth much. And I thought, it means that prayer, and it's working in dynamics, something's going to happen if it's the right kind of praying. And this effectual fervent prayer, we'll get to and talk to about a little bit later. But here we're thinking about really praying. Sometimes we talk about praying, but we don't really take a concept that something really may happen and that it may really be answered. Some testified tonight about God answering prayer. I say hallelujah. I'm glad God answers prayer. And I'm glad real praying will move God to action and we can see some things happen for the glory of God. And I thought about how Elijah prayed and he shut heaven up, but he prayed and opened heaven up. That I'd love to see heaven open up in spiritual power and convicting and drawing and action and seeing people get right with God and things happen for the glory of God and see that take place. So, but notice in verse number 16, he said a righteous man, and here he, and we'll touch on that in a little bit, but just simply say here, he's talking about a person that's saved. You got to be saved. Somebody said unsaved, I pray every night. If you're unsaved, you don't pray every night. You may say words every night. It may sound like praying, but you don't really pray. You can't pray to God unless you pray through Jesus. He's the only mediator there is. So how can you get to God without praying through Jesus? How are you going to get through Jesus without getting saved and born in the family of God? If you don't believe him and trust him as your Lord and Savior, you can't pray. And I want to emphasize that tonight, that the only people that can really pray outside of a sinner coming and asking God to forgive them and save them. Now, God hears that prayer if it's sincere and it's from the heart and they mean it. Holy Spirit speaking to them and dealing with them. God hears that prayer. Said, no wise cast ye out. But outside of that, he does not. But God does with us that are saved. And there's times he don't hear our prayers. And they are hindrances to prayer. Let me give you a couple of things tonight quickly. Number one, I'm using the word, this un before these words, un. And we ought to be humble, but unhumbled. I don't worry if that's a correct word or not, but it sounds good. Unhumbled. We're not humble. Let's put it that way. Amen. And I got to think about it. That verse that we so often quote in revival and thinking about revival, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall have good music, have good preaching. If they shall tithe, they shall give to missions. If they shall, no, that's not what he said. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And so the first thing that he named in that verse was shall humble themselves. And we'll never get praying like we ought to unless we humble ourselves. And God doesn't, we don't deserve anything from God as far as deserving things in our own selves. We don't deserve that. And it's the grace of God that God hears our prayer. God does something for us. It's a mercy of God, grace of God. But we need to be humble. And sometimes we almost get in a pharisaical attitude that, you know, the Pharisee went up to the house of God and a publican went up, publican bowed his head and smote his breast, said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But the Pharisee stood over there and said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. He was looking around and said, I'm so glad, and I'm glad telling God that how good he was, that he wasn't like other people. Other people bad and he's good. And started talking about all the good things he did. He fasted twice in a week, tithed and all that. He started talking about all those good things that he did. And those things Jesus said you ought to do, but don't leave other things undone. And the humility of that publican over there got God's attention. That he wasn't bragging about himself. He knew he needed something from God. I think that you and I that are saved, we need to realize we need something from God. And we ought to approach God in that humility and let God hear our prayer in that humility. Now, let me say something else about this humble. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16 and verses following said, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto God. Anytime God says abomination means it's the lowest of sin. Amen. It really means, you all pay attention. When God says something is an abomination in the Old Testament, you remember it had always been an abomination inside of God, because God does not change. And sometimes we want to take some things out of the Old Testament and say, well, that don't apply today. If God called it abomination, it's abomination inside of a holy God. And here he said it's an abomination to God, six things. And the first thing he named is a proud look. He said that's an abomination in the sight of God. And talking about pride. And so we mean to understand a lying tongue. He mentioned them as he talked here, these six things. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, heart devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run into mischief, and a false witness speaking lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That'd be a message in itself, take all those things and lump them together. And you know what is the root of all of that? They talked about lying and sowing discord and all the rest. You know what the root of that is? Pride. We think ourselves better than somebody else, and so we got something to say. We talk about that. Amen. Good preaching. I thought I helped myself out a little bit. But anyway, and so the root of all of the pride, we need to remember that pride goes before destruction, the Holy Spirit before a fall in Proverbs 16 and 18. And so we got to remember pride. God hates pride. It's an abomination in the sight of God. And so if that's what God calls abomination, and I believe you and I ought to take inventory and think about that and realize the fact that we need to humble ourselves before God, that we need something, and that we desire, what we're desiring from God is something that we need. We need revival. And I like that old song that says, not my sister nor my brother, but it's me, oh God, standing in need of prayer. And sometimes it's easy to look around and say, boy, if so-and-so had been here, they'd have got it. If so-and-so had heard that message, boy, it'd fit them. If they just listen up, they'd get it tonight. But what we all need to do is recognize the fact and God's speaking to us individually, and that we need to hear what God has to say. And so I'm concerned about the hindrances to prayer. And I really believe that to begin with, we need to think about our humanity. And whether or not we have it and don't have it. And so we sometimes get proud that we're humble. And so that's sin too. And so our humility ought to be in the right. There's a balance in that thing. Amen. And we need the right kind of a balance. So I pray that God would help us. And God would help us to see that we don't need to be proud that we're humble, but we need to be humble. And just approach God in that sense that God is God. He's holy, knows everything. And sometimes we look at people and think, well, they're so bad they can't be saved, or they'll never come, or they'll never respond. And we don't pray for them and believe God right. We should, because we're looking at ourselves better than they are and don't see that we'd be in their shape if it wasn't for the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we could be drunkards tonight, or we could be in a penitentiary, or we could be somewhere. Fact is, we could be in hell tonight, and God still be a holy God. And it's just the grace of God, his humility, our being humble one day when we got saved. And we need that same humility tonight that we had when we got saved. I guarantee you, because if you ever got saved, you got the pride knocked out of you. If you ever really got saved, you got all the pride knocked out, and you just recognize the fact you needed God to do something for you. And so we need that revive that kind of humility in our hearts that we may do that. But let me say secondly, and I kind of hate to leave that pride because I think we need to deal with it, but I want you tonight think seriously and your own life, your own heart, and as you deal with others, think about pride. Think about that in your life. Ask God to help you and put that away. And God may ask you to do something that pride would get in your way to do about revival. He may want you to go to somebody, may want you to say something, or he may want you to do something that may seem odd to your family or odd to somebody around you or odd. Maybe, I don't know, maybe getting down beside your bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and crying out to God. It may be that you're knocking on the door sometime or you're making a phone call or at work, you come lunch hour and you say, I'm not eating today, I'm praying. I want to go somewhere and find me a place to pray. That may seem odd and others may think it odd, but we need to get pride out of the way and just do whatever it is God says to do and do it. Amen. And sometimes we have special prayer and special things. I mentioned Saturday night prayer, and we're talking about that. And sometimes we have special days where we ask people to think, take, and pray. But this year, I'm not asking you to do that. What you do between you and God, but get a hold of God somewhere. And it's not important that I know about it. It's not important that somebody else knows what you're doing. Sometimes we'll do something like that just because a preacher asks us to do it, and that's not the right motive to do it either. It's not the right motive just because we feel, well, everybody else is doing it, and I ought to do it because I wouldn't look right in the preacher's eyes if I don't do it. That's not the reason to do it. Amen. I'm trying to get us away from all the pride and just do what we do because we really want God to move in our behalf and move in the church and move in our community and move out here in Boiling Springs, South Carolina, Spartanburg County, and send real revival, amen. But now, unjudged iniquity. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. That's what God said, if I regard iniquity in my heart. Now, somebody put it like this, and I kind of like the definition of it. Sin is missing the mark. Iniquity is willingly missing the mark. I think that's a pretty good definition of those two words. And if you think about shooting at a target, got a target set up and got a bullseye and you're aiming for it. And as Christian folk in this flesh, we know that as we aim for the bullseye, as we aim to be perfect, if you please, we ought to want to do what God wants us to do and be right in every way. We come up short and we'll miss it. And that's sin. And we ask God to help us, and he does help us. He says, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we know we miss the mark, but we pray and God help. But if we aim at the target, but we deliberately aim away from the target, that's iniquity. We know we're going to miss it because we're not even trying to hit it. We really getting in trouble then. And so I pray to God tonight that we that are saved recognize the fact that iniquity and sin both are wrong in the sight of a holy God, and that hinders our pride. Listen to what Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face that he will not hear. And so what he's saying is that iniquity and sin have hid God's face that he will not hear. May God help us examine ourselves, see our own sin, confess our sin, and get right with God. That's revival anyway, when God's people get right. And we'll be in revival. By the time the evangelists get here, we'll be in revival. And God can move and stir. But if we don't look at ourselves and begin to judge ourselves, as it were, and confess to God and get it right with God. I talked about repentance on Sunday, and that's turning from sin to God. And making, if we don't really repent if we don't turn from it. And if we needed to be doing something we're not doing, and we repent of that, we don't really repent of it, we don't start doing it. Amen, preacher, good preacher. And so we need to follow God and work in that area of obeying God in this. Look at verse number 16 again. Confess your faults one to another. You know, once in a while, a good old time confession meeting might be good. Amen. I remember a service in the old building when someone was sitting at the piano, and all of a sudden they just got up and started confessing some fault. some things that was become sin in their life because it was hindering their Christian walk. And began, yeah, some of y'all remember that. And it broke loose and started, other people started saying things. And people got, to, that's what the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Fix your fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But our pride stands in our way of ever admitting that we're wrong and that we need something from God. So may God help us tonight and we not let sin stand in the way and our iniquity stand in the way. May God help us to pray, seek God, and be humbled before God and let God help us and see sin as it is in our lives and let God turn the searchlight of heaven. And I promise you, and I've said this many times, if you ever really pray, if you ever really get alone with God in that secret place and really pour your heart out to God and begin to get a hold of God, you will never do that. That God does not turn the searchlight in on you and you'll see something in your life that you need to straighten out or pray about God's help with and get it right. Amen. I never have. I don't believe anybody ever has because that light shows up the dirt. That light of God, when you're getting the light of the Holy Ghost, when you're really getting in tune with heaven, you're not talking just to a man, you're talking to God. And when you talk to God, those piercing eyes that John saw, Revelator saw, and says a flame of fire, they pierce your soul and your mind and heart and they'll show you where you really are. And then you begin to pray and ask God to help you. Then go on with your praying. God help us. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray seal the hearts, the words to hearts tonight. And I pray do seal our hearts to that word. And help us respond as we ought to do. And I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit will tonight help all of us, God, see ourselves like we are. And Father, help us as we deal with this subject of pride and deal with iniquity and sin in our lives. And Lord, pride will keep us from doing that. And so I pray tonight you'd help us, God, to see like you see us and respond like you want us to. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand to your feet, please. She's playing softly. I'm not going to prolong the invitation. If you need